introduce them. So our presenter today is Murray Mann. Murray is male, straight, an LGBT ally, Argentinian, Mediterranean, and Russian heritage. He lived in a Catholic and Jewish household, and as Murray says, with a round guilt trip ticket, the baby boomer, a parent of four, he's lost a child, has two grandchildren. He is a member of the sandwich generation, caring for an aging parent and a son with cancer. He has both and hidden physical disabilities that require accessibility and reasonable accommodations in the workplace. He attended public university, the second generation to attend college, and holds multiple ICF-approved coaching certifications. He is an ENFP on Myers-Briggs, uses both sides of his brain, therefore ambidextrous, a visual and auditory learner. He's somewhat lingual at English, Spanish, and some sign language. He's uncomfortable with self-promotion. It feels terrible. Only his abuela, his grandmother, can talk about his accomplishments. What Murray embraces most about his culture is familia, comunidad y música. He falls into the medium high context portion of Hall's cultural communication continuum. Trust is relationship based. He will give second chances. Direct communication to email. Sorry, guys. Face-to-face, Skype, or telephone, as long as they are dialogues. Limited texts are okay. That's Murray. And please take it from here.
Okay. Hallie, are you okay? Hello, everybody. I want to ask, why was I introduced by my cultural bio? So unmute yourself and...
This is Kathy, and what I'm surmising is that it was interesting for me to note the reactions I had to all the different things that she was saying. So I appreciated that bio.
Anybody else? Well, we can move on, and I'm gonna share my screen. Here we go. We're gonna do mostly conversation. Actually, I was gonna hold that phone up while we were talking. So the first thing I really wanted to say was that, so you can see a better picture of me instead of the one that's live, was first of all, I wanted to honor ACTO for being in the lead of cultural competency and coaching. I've listened to some of the calls. I've had the privilege of speaking with several leaders and some of them becoming friends, as well as the work you did in the in your 2013 conference on cultural competency, and being part of the leadership of the ICF first advanced conference, which was focused on cultural competencies. So in speaking with people, especially over the last few days and listening to the previous presentations, if it's okay with you, I'd like to bring up a few items or concepts that haven't been presented, but at the same time, really go into what are the next steps? What are the next steps that ACTO and the coach training organizations can take? So, Hallie, does that sound like a good way to go? I got the thumbs up. Okay. So we all talk about the cultural iceberg, what's visible and what's beneath the iceberg. And so as clients, we bring to the table so many different characteristics. And actually, every client is diverse in multidimensional ways. And that's one of the if we can evolve our cultural dexterity, which I'm going to discuss briefly, we can impact all of our clients and take the core competencies deeper than we already have and add to our mastery. So one of our goals is not only to lower the waterline as we as coaches through our discovery, but also to help our clients lower the waterline in their own awareness and their interactions with others. So we have one of the things that came out of the calls is we have a lot of discussions around the issue of expats and how we're training globally, how do we immerse ourselves in those cultures. And I think Marilyn O'Hearn has brought up the question in one of the calls, what about what's happening within the diversity within the U.S., the diversity on the blocks we live, the people that we encounter. And so these changing dynamics are also bringing more challenges for us as coaches. So, and another issue that I wanted to just bring up, so if this could be brought up in discussion for those who are interested in, is that there's a report that came out, it was updated December 2013, from a professor out of New York University, and it's really gone deeper into the issue of covering, which was sociologist Irving Goffman coined that term in the 60s when there was the whole issue, a lot of discrimination and racism, and why people might not want to have their identity full, and be able to be fully engaged in their lives, in their social life, and their personal life, social life, and in the and in the workplace. And so covering really describes takes a lot of energy, and I know I haven't fully defined it, and I can do that, but it takes a lot of energy to not be our authentic selves. And so I'm sharing this study with ACTO as well as a number of other sources, so you can go much deeper into what that takes. And you can see from this slide, which was a precursor to the latest version of the study, even 50% of straight white males will cover on at least one of these axes. They might not want to let people know that they believe in, that they have certain beliefs, or that they might appropriate with people who would bring out more to their identity. And it just takes a lot of work.
Marie, can I interrupt you for a sec? We have a request from the floor to define covering, please.
Okay. So covering is where you take, let me give you an example. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was, a wheelchair user, yet he always was seen standing, and he was always seen not sharing his disability because of how people would perceive him. And so by concealing or modifying who we are authentically is what covering is. So I hope that helps. I don't want to get too deep on it, as I'd like to move forward, if that's okay. But if we're not being authentic, and when we're hiding who we are, what our beliefs are, it drains us and makes it extremely difficult for us to be able to be as effective in our lives. And as coaches, this is one area we can help our clients be more authentic. And I'd like to move on for the moment, and we can go back to it. And because I really don't want to keep looking at slides. So those are just a couple of concepts I wanted to introduce. And then I wanted to go, in your previous presentations and at your conference, you talked about culture. You define culture as behaviors, values, beliefs. You talk about context. The Hall's model was discussed. So was Trompener's and some of the other Rosinsky's cultural framework. And so we know as coaches that we have to look at context. But we need to go deeper than that, and that's where I wanted to introduce the concept of cultural dexterity. And hang on. And so cultural dexterity is a combination of coaching, cultural intelligence, or first emotional intelligence, which we have. All of us as coaches tend to have. It's our coach intelligence, which is the our training, just like Jesus recently graduated from, and also our mastery. And then there's a concept of adding cultural intelligence, and it's the intersection of the three that gives us the capability of going from just basic understanding to have the capacity to strategize and take actions and dance in the moment, knowing the steps that our clients take. So cultural intelligence, this is the simple version of it. Most of the people who have interest have the drive. The knowledge is beyond our travels.
Callie, are you picking that up? Yeah. If anybody has come in on the internet and on the phone, you need to come in only on one. So please hang up and come back in either on the phone or on the website link, but not both. That causes that feedback. Thanks.
So in the context of what we do in coach training, is to be able to say, to not just cover cultural awareness, but to be able to help our coaches develop the strategies. How can you identify if an issue is particular to your client versus informed by their culture, and then being able to apply that strategy in the moment with our clients. And so that's where cultural intelligence combined with our emotional intelligence and our coach training and mastery allows us to be able to go much deeper with virtually any client. And so I didn't know if there were any questions about that before I move on, because I'm going to ask some questions in a few minutes. Okay. So, and then one of the other things that we wanted to do is, it was mentioned that there is a tool, a GPS tool, that is an app in one of the other presentations. What this tool that I'm not going to cover in depth unless there's questions is this is, in order to take our clients through to be able to develop the cultural dexterity using the core competencies, these are the basic steps that you would want to go through. And I want to cover just one area right now, and that's the area of the lenses through which you coach clients from different backgrounds. And so I'm going to stop the share for a moment, and so we can all talk with each other. And so when we do training, one of the tools that we do is we actually use a tool called the implicit association test, and I have that on a slide. The tool is, and we use the IDI, which is a diversity intelligence inventory. But the IAT is one that I would encourage you all to take. It's free. It's by Harvard University. And when I took it for the Latino culture, for the with people with disabilities, I was amazed at my own unconscious biases. And the unconscious bias actually plays very deeply into, more deeply into our decision making as coaches and our assumptions than the more overt biases. So one of the things that we actually have in a longer training, and this is something that you might want to incorporate into your own trainings, is to have, we'll have a class actually take the implicit association test, because they get the visceral experience of, wow, I didn't even know I'm biased within what is, I think is my own culture, because we're not all homogeneous, and there are a lot of through media and just through imprinted on our lives, it ends up having the impact of how we view the world. And so that is an absolutely critical tool. And then it's a matter of developing strategies such as the cultural bio that I was introduced by, and using discovery sessions and using other tools to be able to capture that for your, with your clients, and train your students to be able to have these, add these skills to their repertoire to improve their mastery in coaching. So are there any questions about that? Because I'm going to have a series of questions. Again, I have a few questions for you. We're cool? Okay. So let me just get this PowerPoint out of the way. And these slides are going to be made available to you. So, and so also to ACTO and all the links. So this is where the conscious and unconscious bias.
Could you repeat the name of some of the tests that you recommended?
Yes, it's the, this is the individual diversity inventory, and the other one is the implicit association test. And let me just get to full view on this.
Are they both free?
Well, the implicit association test is free, and there's really 90 versions of that. And right now, because of where I have things, I need to just hold on one moment and go so I can give you a better picture of this. Oh, here, you get back to slideshow. So we're just gonna, I'm gonna run down real quickly. So this implicit association test, it's not an end-all to be-all, but it is a wonderful tool. There are 90 different tests within this. So it's not just the, again, what's above the iceberg, which might be race, gender. It goes deeper. It can cover areas of weight, age. It covers your view on religion, it is a tool that I had hoped that you would have been able to take beforehand, but I welcome your feedback on it. And then the IDI is one that I've been talking to the people who manage it, and to see if for both ICF cultural competency group and ACTO can, if we could have access to test it for our organizations, for each of our organizations. So I am in conversations to help take that to the next step. And so are there any more questions about these? Because there are other tests too.
What's the name of the test again? This one?
Oh, this is the Intercultural Development Inventory. And it really shows where you are in terms of your cultural awareness and to the depth of where you are, how adaptive you are. It goes back to the cultural dexterity because it'll show that are you at an entry level awareness level or are you adept in navigating in cultures. So these are two tools that we like to use, and there are numerous other ones, but from a coaching perspective, they seem to have greater applications. So,
Pat Williams, have you heard of Country Navigator? Are you familiar with that?
Yes, there's Country Navigator, there's Cultural GPS, and those are good for on two levels. One is that if you're working in country, it helps give a considerable amount of information. And if you're working with clients who are either from other countries or depending upon their level of acculturation in the U.S., as well as just getting what other influences might occur, because you could have a client who was actually born and raised here, but their family was actually more ingrained in the purpose of where they came from versus the people who are actually have recently arrived here. And it's so it does give you some level of awareness, but I think the goal is to identify tools that can take the coaches on a deeper level. And I'd be more than happy to share a number of others. It was just for the purpose I picked two. So does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
And who asked, by the way?
Patrick Williams.
Okay, Patrick, thank you. So as I said in my in what is posted online, as coaches, having cultural dexterity, it's important for us to be able to dance in the moment using the steps it's like reaching that third space. The steps we know, the steps our client know, and where do we mutually be able to dance together so that we are full partners with our clients. And so it's the core competencies actually are an amazing guide for this. And so I wanted to cover some of them. I'm going to ask you some questions, finally getting to the questions, and so we can have a full dialogue. And that is, this applies for everything from co-creating the relationship. Whoops, let me go up. I'm just having trouble seeing my own slides there. I pulled the window down. Okay, so I wanted to look at in this area, but on these three, but literally from developing that engagement, the contract that we have with our clients or with our coaches in terms of being able to work with the core competencies and how we do this, it can make a huge difference. So I wanted to take a couple of them. Building trust, which I don't have a slide for up here, is really the most difficult, and that's where we have to be overcome our fears of making mistakes and asking permission to be able to ask about culture, to be able to build that relationship. Oftentimes we often need to reveal more about ourselves. And so that's just one step. And so my first question, I think, would be, what have you seen and what are you teaching how are you training your students to be able to build relationships with people who are of different backgrounds? So I'd like to hear how you're doing it. and what, how you're incorporating it into the, your training programs. So,
yeah, Murray, Pat Williams, if nobody else was speaking, I had the pleasure of going to the ICF conference in DC, and what I left on diversity, what I left with at our Institute for Life Coach Training is, as long as we teach the competencies, the essential skills of coaching, with an awareness of cultural impact, that will serve us well if we're willing to be curious, ask questions, admit what would be comfortable with not knowing, all those things. And then I learned from Virginia Kellogg and her group that if we're going to make some oops and ouches with people, we might just let them know that could happen.
And that's absolutely true. That's what you, bringing up front would allow, it helps establish that relationship that we are vulnerable. And even in establishing the relationship, so it's getting permission and giving permission.
Could everybody please mute if you're not speaking? Particularly people on the phone. If you recently joined, you might want to leave and come back in again. There. Jules, I just muted you. I think the static was coming from you.
I thought I was going to get static from everybody, actually. But that's beside Okay. So the thing is that, so even it's important for us to, with our coach trainees, to be able to have them be fearless rather than be afraid, to be open. And that openness can accomplish several things, because even in establishing the relationship, you have cultures that are going, as we know, some people are coming to us and the first thing they think is, we have all the answers and we have to establish that this is a partnership. When it comes to specific cultures, that becomes a dynamic that you study and become informed about that culture, and then you do your discovery questions, you're able to establish the kind of relationship that creates the partnership that we as coaches have. And so I've included some of those discovery questions. And what we're not going to do, but we are going to send you, is we're going to also give you a sample session where what this really looks like. And so that should be helpful, because these are the kinds of sessions that you can replicate and be able to incorporate. So I'm going to jump ahead in a sense, because I think one of the critical things that's going on that needs to be done, and there is a dialogue, should this be a separate session versus incorporated into all the core competencies. So ICF is talking about, is it going to be a new competency or is it going to be embedded in the competencies? And I'm recommending, because I know several coach training schools do a session on culture, but if that could be part of the conversation in each of your training classes, so that if people can see the application, it's going to make a huge difference. And that's why when I go to active listening, I'm going to show you where that difference is, and also creating awareness with the client. And that's where you'll get those sample sessions to apply. But with limited time, I wanted to make sure we were covering everything. And so I need to find my share screen again, since I moved this. Here we go. And so one of the things that is awareness, and that goes to Patrick, awareness is not just enough to be aware that there are differences. We are aware that some cultures are more low context than high, meaning that the meaning is directly in words. And for others, it's more high context and the meaning is more inferred. Coaches that have developed and achieved cultural dexterity, they're able to achieve third level listening. How can we understand, and how can the coach understand if they don't understand the cultural meaning? And so I know people have talked about feel the air and read the air in some of the session in previous sessions. And in Japanese, we're considered KY, one who cannot read the air. And again, that goes to what Patrick was saying, is being able to ask the questions, to be able to establish the relationship, have the permission to make the faux pas. So I wanted to hear from you again, who is... from in terms of active listening, can somebody give me an example of how you would a way of being able to do that somebody of another cultural background? And I'd like to answer that and then hear how you've incorporated into your coach training. So does anybody have an example?
I would love to hear your example.
Okay. Well, I mean, and one example is that in Asian cultures, you're going to have silence is part of the conversation. Silence is a sign of respect and a sign that you are at. You're fully present with the person you're communicating with. And so when we work with clients who where we've identified that their Asian culture has come into play, that is one thing. We use silence as more of an active listening process. So we are reading the air. And we're reading it from the cultural lens that the client is looking through. And so, again, what we've done is we use examples. We actually use live coaching sessions with different cultures to show what it will look like. And, again, how do you determine, and I'm going to get to in the next example, how you can determine again, is this particular to the individual or is there a cultural influence or dynamic in play? And it could be both. Right. So how would you incorporate this into your coach training?
It seems really challenging given what you just said about the overlap that and all of the different quote cultures, which are not just about different countries and language, but sexual orientation and disability and everything else. Right now I'm feeling really overwhelmed about how.
I don't think that was my intention, but I did want to create awareness that it's doable. And that's the thing. And that's closer. As we get closer, I'm going to link you to people who can help you do it, who are within your own community too. Mm-hmm. So we are, as a community, I think we can take this and move it much more quickly and smartly. I don't know if Terry is on the phone still.
He says he's here. I think he's having trouble. He can't be on audio and he's having trouble with the sound. So I don't know that he can chat on the phone.
Yeah, because one of the things that Terry and Linda Page has done, and again, I've got the links to all of this for you, is it's not just what the Graduate School Alliance has done in education for coaching. They have established some standards and they've focused in the area of engagement, which is relating directly to the ICF core competencies. And so they have created some tools that could be very helpful. And one of the things that ACTO is doing is it's developing its own library. And so we are looking at populating that library from a number of sources, which I'm going to share at the end of the, end of this conversation. So again, some of the steps are there. Terry and Richard from Case Western are launching a study of coach-client groups so that they can create the data, the information we need to apply this into our coach training. So there's some really good work going on. And so I'm going to move on to the next one, unless there's another question or anybody has an example. Oops, did I miss one? Here. Creating
shots. Go ahead. Got some shots come up. Somebody coached in the Middle East, mainly men, and had to rely on listening in a way had not done previously. Suspend judgment and bias and just be. And Edre says also body language cues are helpful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a smile in Thailand can mean 30 different things. Mm-hmm. So it becomes really nuanced. And in the Middle East, you could, instead of the opposite of active listening, could be where people are talking over each other. And it becomes, so under knowing those dynamics allows you to be able to be more fully engaged in the conversation. And that's where one of the things that's happening in the ICF base camp on the pilot project is to be able to provide that source of tools and resources, and again, for ACTO's internal library, be able to have those tools and resources available. So if coaches have a specific need, they don't have to start looking. There'll also be people who can be your resource and your guides, your travel guides on this, mm-hmm. to help you with that. So I wanted to give you an example of where it's not, again, it's not just knowing enough to know that some cultures' worldviews are different. They're either more group-oriented, seeing the whole versus individualistic, seeing the parts of the whole, or differing views of meaning and respect. This is where we're sending you the sample session where you can see the difference. The session, just for the Twitter version of this, is that you have a client who is is an extrovert on all the assessments, but is frustrated at work, and at work is one of the issues is they're not participating with the team or speaking up in groups, and yet this client is doing this in the work group, but is able to do that in a different setting in the workplace, which is their Hispanic employee resource group. And they're able to do it at church, where there was a culturally related process that helped the person overcome issues of respect, that it's not disrespectful to speak up, that you're not showing somebody up. And then, so the cultural questions that were asked why are you able to do it here but not in the workplace? And what came out was I'm not sure. And then we asked some, because of some earlier discovery session questions, but a specific question, well, how is your culture informing you of this? And I was brought up to not be disrespectful, not to show up my elders. Also, what the feelings were. So here's this extrovert who is seen as an introvert in the workplace, and by asking the kinds of questions of how is your culture coming into play? What did you learn growing up? How does that come into play? How were you able to overcome it in this other situation? And then the client becomes more aware, and you can ask, well, then how can you apply this great experience? And the aha moment is, yeah, I never really put that together. Here I am, I'm trying to understand why I'm frustrated. And yes, I've spoken with my boss. So the the client becomes aware and is able to develop strategies based on experience to move outside and expand their comfort zone. So that's the kind of example that where cultural dexterity can make a difference. Does anybody have any comment on that? I see a lot of head shaking, but
Murray, yes. That's something that I work a lot with teams. And most of the teams I work with are cross-cultural. We have a lot of Indians. We have a lot of Asians on the teams. And we have found that there are some cultures, that very same example with the silence. And people or other teammates are saying, why can't you speak up? I can't hear you. Speak up. And these people are, you know, they speak this much louder. So one of the things I do with my teams is train them to be able to understand that your upbringing may have a very big impact on how you are in the workplace. And it is amazing that just increasing that awareness in the team of these things helps them to be a lot more accepting. And I find that there's a closer bond because they're now seeing that this, you know, these people just aren't being shy or jerks or whatever. They're, it has a lot to do with how they were brought up.
And that's where, in the case, in one of the case studies examples that we'll send you, is where being able to be given permission, being able to share, and then even within teams, there's another tool called DIN. It actually came out of psychology. It was adapted by the Language and Culture Institute, which is based in Chicago, and they do a lot of coaching. And it was along with Hewitt and Associates to apply to the workplace. And so what they did is they trained. They found that 80% of miscommunication in the workplace was, and this is very solid metrics, was mostly cross-cultural miscommunication, not performance. And so by being able to train everybody to diagnose, interpret, and navigate, they had a new language then to be able to communicate and address so that if you have people who have expectations that everybody's to contribute to a team, you'll be able to achieve that through different means. And there, I mean, I could go into detail how that is applied with teams, but so this is a great tool. I actually have permission to share it with you. They sent it to me with the permission to share it with ACTO. Does that help a bit, Kathy? Would that help you? And would that be another tool in your repertoire?
That would be huge. I would really appreciate looking into that because I also do a lot of team coach training. And so this is something that we can disseminate and get out there. I just love that idea.
Well, that's what I hoped we would be able to figure out, what were the needs so mm-hmm. we can, and as Hallie said, it feels so overwhelming. How can we create making this not so overwhelming? Now, Johnny Monson Santos and Mike from New Zealand, who are leading the cultural work group, I don't remember the name of it, they, based on this call today, they're going to launch a set of 11 calls on each cultural competency so that they're dedicated for in-depth conversations so that ACTO members can start applying this at a deeper level.
All of the 11 core competencies, right? Like looking at the cultural aspect of each of the core competencies.
The 11 core competencies. So I think that's one of those, how can ACTO take what it's already achieved and keep moving the needle forward? So I hope you all join in on those calls.
I can cheat them, yeah.
Oh, so, I'm not going to get into some of this. Here's some of the discovery session type questions. There's a much longer list, and it's actually posted on the ICF website in the cultural, the ICF Advanced Cultural Competency, and it's there for your download. It was actually developed by a team of people, a number of people, but it was presented, offered, the Kim Fowler actually aggregated the complete list and then posted it on the website, on the ICF website, for you and for you to download. So, anybody have any comments on these types of questions?
Do you find that, like, some of these, it's sort of very much like a lot of the work we do, having people be aware of the water they're swimming is sometimes challenging. So what were the important messages about your culture that you heard? I mean, there's going to be some that they are aware of and then a bunch that they're not. How have you found you use these questions, like the outcome, like the question, the answers to the questions, is that, is there more than that after they give the answers, there further conversation?
There's part of this list, it goes, okay, what are the next set of questions? So it's not just the intro, how do you take it deep? What are your, here's some samples of how you can take it deeper. So you can help the client create that awareness of what's impacting them, what are their comfort zones, and how they've been able to navigate them. That's why I mentioned that one sample. So does that answer your question?
Yes.
And then, yeah, this was, sometimes you get permission to, or you need to be kind of straight up and just open the conversation if you know what the communication styles of your client and background are. Again, some of this can be done through your questionnaire, and but a lot of this I found is more effective in the discovery itself. So I'm looking at Adela, who you can't see. Adela Pena is with me. She heads our multicultural coaching practice, and she's really working to develop the tools, and she's also been leading one of the ICF pilot projects. We did a project in Minneapolis, St. Paul, different than the one that Jesus Portillo is involved with in Philadelphia, where we prepped the coaches, we actually trained coaches in Minneapolis, in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. It was related to the Forum on Workplace Inclusion, and we delivered 600 services to underserved populations and to returning veterans to address the various issues that they presented, mostly around work, but there was also life coaching around the returning vets. So being prepared, the coaches felt that the feedback was is that it helped make a difference going through both a training session. And then there was a half-day session on just working on vets before we ever even delivered the services.
Got it.
And those are the kinds of work that's being documented and recorded and in the ICF Pilot Project Basecamp for you to access. So
sounds like there is a lot of information to be had, and I feel like we just tipped the top of the iceberg today. So
I know. I apologize if we weren't as dynamic as we wanted to be. So you're being given the links to all of this. So, and George Rogers, who all of us know, has agreed to be the point of contact because there's a lot going on right now. Not only in research, but in the new certification markers, they're adding. We've talked about using a single term rather than working with the new assessor training using the term bias, that we use the same cultural competence, cultural bias, we're creating some common language so that we all can understand what we're talking about. And there's a cultural competency community and coaching community practice, third Wednesday of every month, I think it is, but you'll see it on the website. Linda Page leads a research base camp. Ed Modell has the global pilot projects. And you can see Marilyn, who is in Asia right now, is actually finalizing or working towards finalizing being able to put this into coach training, cultural competency and coach training. And she's been testing this with her mentor coaching program. And I mentioned the GSAC work and the Library of Professional.
Oh no. Very impressive.
We had conversations about being able to create a specific cultural competency page. This information into the ACTO data, ACTO's own database. And
we know you are a lot of information.
Fire host, everybody.
So I just want to make sure everybody knows that your slide deck and the recording of this presentation will be available on the ACTO website. So if they want more information, Marie, you're definitely a resource, and I appreciate all of your information and for being here today. And thanks everybody for being here on the call today. And I just want to do a short plug for our next presentation, which will be in October, on the third Wednesday of the month. And so it's Wednesday, October 15th, and our presenter will be Marcia Reynolds, and her presentation is going to be on the neuroscience of coaching and what it takes to create a new awareness. So I hope everybody can join us for that. If you want to send around information about our series, they will be the third Wednesdays of every month at 9 a.m. Pacific. And also let you know that I think registration is open for our conference in May, and the theme is Tending the Fire, Catching New Sparks. So thanks very much for being here. Those of you that were on the whole call will receive a CCE certificate. So we will talk to you very soon again. Thank you again, Murray, for being here.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Thank you, Murray. See you next week. Bye.
Thank you.